Concluding our time in the armor of God, and what we like to do here is just the beginning of the message. As we read God's word, we just want to posture our hearts to receive from the Holy Spirit. He's the one who's doing the work today, and so we just want to participate with him. And so if you would just stand together, I'm going to take just 30 seconds and we'll be silent and ask that you would just pray silently to yourself, and then I'll close this in prayer. But we just want to welcome the work of the Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, we bless you this morning. The preaching of your word. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this gathering of your children, Lord, of your people, called by your name, and we're gathering in your name. And we thank you for providing your word to us in a language that we can understand. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to help us understand. And we ask now that you would do a work and open our eyes and enlighten our hearts, give us ears to hear, Holy Spirit, what you're saying to your church. We love you and we bless you in this time. We welcome your ministry here to our hearts this morning. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom. Fill us with the knowledge of the Holy One, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And so we are reading in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. You can turn there in your Bibles or devices. We'll also have it up here on the screen. But Paul writes this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." In the beginning of this series, and hopefully all throughout, we've emphasized that Paul is desiring to see the church empowered with supernatural strength because we face a supernatural enemy, and so we need to do the supernatural act of putting on supernatural armor. And we do this, as Paul says here in the text that we just read, we do this through the supernatural act of prayer. And so if as we go through the pieces of the armor, we understand that each of these has a dynamic to where we can't really enjoy all that God's made provision of apart from prayer. When it comes to the belt of truth, just as we pray now, asking the Holy Spirit for help, for understanding, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who he is. When it comes to the breastplate of righteousness, you know, it's more than just simply doing good things. It's actually our nature, our nature being transformed and us being made more like Jesus. And that comes through prayer. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." And so as we ask the Holy Spirit to come and make us more like Jesus, we are hungering and thirsting for a greater measure of his righteousness to be manifested in us. As we mentioned, the shoes of readiness of the gospel of peace, and even as we read here in Ephesians 6, Paul closes by asking the people of God to pray for him that he might speak boldly as he should. Paul understands the connection between evangelism and prayer. It was a shield of faith. You know, one of the great verses, one of the great prayers of Scripture that I found so helpful, so just authentic and down to earth and where we all walk so many times, is when Jesus, before he heals the man with the demonized son, the man comes to him and says, "I do believe, but would you help my unbelief?" Like, don't we live that? Like, we have all the information sometimes, and we agree with the information, and we believe it to a point, but then when our faith gets tested, we realize, I need more faith. God, would you do something about this? Like, we lift up, we take up the shield of faith in the place of prayer. The helmet of salvation. And Habakkuk 3:2 says, "Lord, I've heard of your fame, and I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day." Like, our salvation is, we talked about, we're remembering what God has done, the testimonies, like Jen was sharing this morning, the testimonies of what he's done, but they also build our confidence to see him do more of these things. Like, it's our helmet of salvation. We remember and we pray with confidence and hope towards the future salvation that God is bringing in our lives. And of course, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it's in prayer. It's in both declaring and giving thanks for and praise for. Samuel Chadwick, he has this quote. He says, "It is great to take the Lord's own words and speak them in praise and plead them in prayer." Like, the sword of the Spirit is wielded in the place of prayer. The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel in readiness of peace. Like, all these things are begin to become manifested in prayer. And so I was struggling to find a solid word for this. It says, you know, we throughout this series, we've tried to give practical application, not how we earn the armor of God, but how we posture our lives to receive all that God has made available through them. But it's in the place of prayer, prayer becomes this catalyst to where righteousness, faith, peace, salvation become manifested in our lives in a greater measure. And so Paul is giving this instruction so that you and I can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, so that you and I can take our stand against the devil's schemes on the day of evil. And he lands with praying in the Spirit. Because it's so much more, as I said at the beginning, it's more than just this mental discipline or in the mornings where I just put on the armor of God, I put on the armor of God. It's actually a lifestyle, it's actually a culture, because it's always the day of evil. The devil is always scheming. We're always in need of strength. And Paul lands right here in praying in the Spirit. So I want us to, today our goal is hopefully to help us find out what it means to be praying in the Spirit, and how praying in the Spirit not only impacts our lives, but others around us. And so we start there. Paul gives us instructions. Pray in the Spirit. Now, right off the bat, if you've been in Christian circles for any amount of time, there's some debate over this phrase. And there's some from maybe more charismatic circles that when it says pray in the Spirit, they're saying this means praying in tongues. But Wayne Grudem points out, he says, if we look at the early church, we realize that everything they did was in the Spirit. I think it was A.W. Tozer said, you know, if the Holy Spirit left the early church, 95% of what they did would stop. Right? Everything, whether it was praying or working or preaching or serving the poor or evangelizing, it was all in the power of the Spirit. And that's what we strive to be as well. Like, more than just simply charismatic, we want to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Like, we want to give the Holy Spirit room to lead how we do children's ministry and home groups and Sunday morning worship and outreaches and discipleship. And then others on the side of the spectrum who maybe say that the gifts are done for the day, they're like, no, it just means pray in accordance with the Holy Spirit. That's one of those things that's just, the statements are just too vague, too big to fail type of thing. Like, that could mean anything. Like, what are you talking about, just in accordance with the Holy Spirit? And so where I like to land on this is, I think it's more than just limiting it to tongues, but at the same time, it does include tongues, because Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 refers to praying in tongues as praying in the Spirit. And so I think we make a mistake to limit it to just tongues, and we make a mistake to say that it's not tongues. But think about this. A big clue, I think, is that in the instruction to pray in the Spirit, it's given on the heels of us taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, you can guarantee you are praying in accordance with the Spirit. You are praying what the Spirit desires to pray, and you are praying in agreement with the Spirit when you pray the Word of God. And that becomes suddenly powerful as we, again, join wielding the sword of the Spirit when we pray in the Spirit. John Piper says this. He says, effective prayer is the overflow of the fullness of the words of Christ abiding within. So let me try and nail this down for us a little, how we kind of walk this out, praying in the Spirit. And I would say it's along the lines of praying under the Spirit's leadership, which means we have to give space for the Holy Spirit to speak, to move, to impress upon our hearts or our minds ideas and thoughts and direction. And so what does this look like? Well, when we gather for men's prayer on Tuesday mornings, if we have somebody new there, I take a minute just to say, hey, it's early in the morning, we're all a little groggy, caffeine hasn't kicked in yet, but we're going to be praying. And it may get quiet for a bit, awkwardly so, but we're not praying. There's no reason to feel awkward. We're listening. We're placing ourselves under the Holy Spirit's leadership. And you'll be surprised, every Tuesday morning is a little bit different. We do the same thing in engaged prayer as we did this past week. And sometimes every engaged prayer meeting is a little bit different. Sometimes we're praying for our kids. Sometimes we're praying for unity in the body. Sometimes we're praying for healing. Sometimes we're praying for revival. Sometimes we're praying for boldness in our evangelism. Sometimes we spend the whole time just singing. Sometimes we're praying in tongues. Sometimes we're reading scripture. Sometimes there's a prophetic word given. The whole point isn't that Tim or I are in leadership of the meeting. It's the whole point is that the Holy Spirit is bringing leadership to the meeting. And that week, sometimes somebody will just, one scripture, and it just shifts the whole room. And suddenly, there's agreement, there's testimony, there's the bearing witness of the Spirit in all of us, and we're all engaged. We're like, yeah, we need to press in hard to unity in the body right now. Praying in the Spirit, it's coming under His leadership and giving Him space to do what He wants to do. Praying in the Spirit, what does it look like? Well, Paul says here, he says, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Do you know there are different ways to pray? Isn't that fun? Like, you don't all have to stand in a circle and hold hands and then squeeze the hand when you're done. Like, prayer looks like a lot of different things. I like to quote 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but Paul says this. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Do you know that when we rejoice, it's prayer? You know what rejoicing is delighting in God. Sometimes rejoicing can be just simply declaring all the great things God has done, declaring who He is. This past Wednesday in engaged prayer, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we just felt like we needed to take a few minutes and just begin to speak out the things that Jesus said, the things that God says about who He is. And so we just began, thank you, God. You're our healer. Thank you, Jesus. You're our righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. You're our hope. Thank you, Jesus. You're our salvation. Thank you, Jesus. You're our peace. Thank you, Jesus. You're our strong tower, our fortress, our refuge. We're praying. This is under the leadership of the Spirit. We're declaring, we're rejoicing in who He is. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Your thanksgiving is prayer. We actually have the opportunity to respond with thankfulness of all He's done. And then, of course, there is petition. There's asking Him for things. But all this goes together, and there are different types of prayer. And in fact, even our singing is prayer. I don't want us to be confused here. When we start off with songs in the beginning, it's not to hype us up or to settle us down. There is a part where we're singing to one another, and there's a part where we're singing to ourselves. That's edification. But first and foremost, we're singing to Him. Holy, there is no one like You. There is none besides You. What are we doing? We're rejoicing. We're declaring. We're praying. We're saying things about Him that He's revealed to us in Scripture. And then what do we say? open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and lead me in your heart, right, with your love to those around me. Right? There's request, there's making petition, there's declaration, there's rejoicing, and there's thanksgiving, and we're the focus, the center point is Him. This is praying in the Spirit and what it looks like as we begin to move in this with all kinds of prayers and requests. But just in case you're still questioning some of that, Paul says this, right? Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts. This isn't just a horizontal thing that we do. We're not singing to the team. We have an audience of one. Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and petitions, and on all occasions. Like this praying in the Spirit isn't just something that's reserved for Sunday mornings or your quiet time or prayer meetings. It's on all occasions. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. In Philippians 4, 6, Paul says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Sometimes we come a little bit weary under the burden of such a statement, pray without ceasing. In every situation, be in prayer. And I think we make mistakes sometimes on both sides of that. Again, you know, right? We either end up creating it as this thing where you cannot stop praying ever. You got to keep praying and keep asking God to keep saying something, keep praising Him, keep rejoicing. You're like, that's impossible. Or we kind of make it this romantic, spiritual thing where you just walk around in a 24/7 Shekinah glory cloud in the presence of the Lord all the time. Mike Bickle says, praying in the Spirit or praying without ceasing is just keeping the conversation going, leaving it open. And again, or the other side, they say, well, it's just staying in an atmosphere of prayer. What does that even mean? I think, again, when we understand praying in the Spirit is praying under the Holy Spirit's leadership, it's inviting the Holy Spirit's leadership into every part of our day, every part of our life. We go on family trips. My kids know as soon as we pull out of the driveway, we just take a minute. We thank God for the gas to get there, a vehicle that's reliable. We thank Him for the time to get away. We ask for His blessing on our time together, that He would knit our hearts together. We ask Him for safety and travel. We pray on the ride back. We thank Him for the time we had together. Thank you that He got us there safely. Thank you for all the fun that we had there. On all occasions, we're praying in the Spirit on all occasions. You know, it's been the biggest struggle for my wife and I to figure out how to pray together regularly. Like, it's taken years to do this. I don't know why. Maybe it's easy for you, but it was a real struggle for us. We tried, well, let's just do it before we go to bed each night. And usually I'm the one, I'm falling asleep in the middle of it. Like, it's not helpful. Or we try maybe before I go to work each day. But you know what? I'm scrambling around trying to grab stuff. Kids are making a mess. Dog's doing this, whatever. And I'm just trying to get out the door. Not a very prayerful environment. And then we discovered, you know what? When we come together over our finances, well, we really need prayer. What a great time to pray. Lord, we need wisdom here. You've given this to us to steward. Would you help us? Would you hold our hand right now? Would you bring unity to our marriage? Help us not to fight. Help us not to get in a money fight. Sometimes that's the best prayer we pray. Just help us. There's stuff that you know that's coming that we don't. Would you help it? Would you lead us and direct us as we steward what you've entrusted to us? Pray on all occasions with all types of prayers and requests. I pray. Psalm 50 says, a thankful heart prepares the way of the Lord. We come here for encounter. And so you know what we started doing as a family years ago when the kids were little, and we still do it today, is our 10-minute ride to church. Who's thankful? And we all just take turns saying different things we're thankful for that God has done during the week. Because we're readying our hearts with praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all types of prayers and requests. You can pray on your way to work. God, I've got this impossible situation waiting there for me. God, I've got this big project waiting for me. Would you give me wisdom? Would you give me strength? Would you help me to be a minister of your peace in this situation? God, would you help me to trust you? Thank you, Father, for the job that you've given me to do. And on the ride home, Lord, thank you for another day of work. This is all from you on all occasions with all types of prayers. You can pray. Man, do you ever need prayer when you're shopping for your wife? Come on, be brave. Men, act like men. Put your hands up. We need help. Who designed her? Who knows her better than you? God, would you help me give her a gift that expresses your heart for her as well? Right? Pray all kinds of prayers on all different kinds of occasions. Pray for your kids when they're facing tough stuff. And you've got to let them walk through it on their own. Pray in any situation where you need wisdom, because here's what we've found to stand on. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, because who gives wisdom generously without finding fault. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and and petitions. This is both how we begin to pray in the Spirit and what it looks like when we pray in the Spirit. Pray on all occasions. I'll just share this. It's nothing I'm an expert in yet, but I've just begun to kind of grow in this. And I've heard this from a number of different teachers in the body. I'm just beginning to try and walk this out. There's something referred to as the daily office or the daily appointment. And you know what's amazing is just through the marriage course that we've gone through here, my wife, she's, you know, one of the best ways she said she feels love is just when I send her little notes via text. And sometimes she gets upset at me if I forget to send her one particular note, and it's just two words, headed home. Nothing, no fireworks in that, no swooning, no cue the violins. It's just, I'm thinking of you in my ride home. I heard a message by a guy named Tyler Staton. He talks about this. Let me just break down the whole message for you real quick in a few minutes. But he says, people love young love. They love young love where everything's exciting and all their little quirks are still cute. And they love all the romance and the thrill of love. He goes, and everybody loves old love. Right? After a lifetime of love, there's just this unity and intimacy. Franklin Graham at his dad's funeral talked about his dad sitting beside his mother's bedside at the end of her life. He said, I'd walk in the room to check on her, and I'd see the two of them just staring at each other's eyes. He goes, I felt so awkward in the moment. Right? Like, we write stories, we make movies about young love. We write stories and make movies about old love. Nobody writes about the in-between. The day-to-day, the simple text headed home. Let me wash the dishes for you. Let me take out the trash. Let me help with the laundry. Let me pick up the kids. But all these things are just daily statements, actually quite mundane. I'm really not really noteworthy, but just saying, I love you. My heart's towards you. My mind's towards you. I'm thinking of you. And then he equates that with our prayer life. He says, we all remember what it looks like to come to know Christ and how exciting it was. We all know that there's this glorious thing coming where we're going to be more intimate with Christ than we could ever possibly imagine. But then there's the day-to-day. Then there's the in-between time. Then there's just another prayer meeting. Then there's just another devotional. But what we don't understand is while we're trying and striving to get to this point with Jesus, it's just the day-to-day. It's just the in-between. It's just the routine. And so where he encourages us to go in that, he says, is actually scheduling times throughout the day to just stop and give thanks, stop, dwell on Scripture, stop, and just turn our hearts and minds back to God. You say, well, isn't that religious when you schedule it like that? All right, ladies, I'm going to need your help here now. If your husband was to set up a babysitter and plan a date night and actually follow through with it, would you consider that dull or dry? No. Like, hallelujah, right? It's the same thing. It's just intentionality. Intentionality is not religion. I'm going to be intentional about setting aside. I'm looking at my day. I'm going to take stock of my day. Hey, I've got a half hour lunch break right here. What can I do with that just to turn my thoughts and heads and head mine back to Jesus. I've got a 10-minute ride home or whatever. What can I do with that time? Just to turn. Praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. When we're praying in the Spirit, Paul writes this in Romans. He says, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." Sometimes I hear statements and you think, oh my goodness, the church is just going to crash. It's going to close in on itself and there's not going to be any church left on the earth ever. I doubt it, because the Spirit of God is interceding for the people of God. Not to mention that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for the people of God to accomplish the will of God in the people of God. You're going to make it. But when you pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, you're joining in with the Holy Spirit's prayers for God's people according to God's will for God's people. You want to know how you know if somebody's not Spirit-filled? Do they love the church? Do they pray for the church? And what do you pray for the church? What is in accordance with the will of God? Well, as we move through the book of Ephesians, we see all sorts of prayers that Paul prays. Pray that you'd have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who he is. I want you to know the hope to which you've been called. I want you to know that you're the glorious riches of his inheritance. I want you to know the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe, that power which is like the mighty working of his strength when he raised Christ from the dead. I want you to know resurrection power. Ephesians 3 says, I pray that you would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious riches, so that Christ would dwell in your heart through faith. Paul says, I'm laboring that Christ would be fully formed in you. I'm praying that grace fellowship would be just a radiant example of who Christ is. I'm praying that this would be so true that you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between grace fellowship and Christ. That's where this is headed. This is the will of God. This is what the Spirit is interceding for us for. And when we pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, we are joining him and contending for this reality to be manifested on the earth as it is in heaven. I want you to be rooted and grounded in love. I want you to have power to comprehend together with all the saints the height, depth, length, and width of the love of Christ. I want you to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you, Grace Fellowship, might be filled to all the fullness of God. Praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church according to God's will, not ours. And prayers for boldness. As we say, Paul closes with this. Like, Paul understood. I just take great encouragement in that, because I'm so weak. I'm so timid sometimes. To share my faith, to share the gospel. I miss opportunities all the time. But Paul, like, I'm in good company, because Paul says, pray for me that I might proclaim the mystery of the gospel fearlessly, as I should. Like, Paul understood, I need some help. He didn't just say, stand back and watch me do it. He didn't just say, stand back, I've raised people from the dead, I've been taken to the third heaven, I've planted churches, I'm an apostle, I've written the gospel. He says, pray for me, because I need help. And when we pray according to the Spirit, like, it's remarkable. Sometimes I think we've gotten the cart before the horse, where we're encouraging people, preach the gospel, share the gospel, share your faith, preach the gospel, get out there and do it. And we're encouraging them, and that's good, but we're missing the fact that all this is rooted in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and a praying people. In Acts chapter 4, it says, they prayed and asked God, would you give us boldness while you stretch out your hand and accompany us with signs, wonders, and miracles? The place where they were praying was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. You understand how this place of praying in the Spirit becomes a catalyst for everything that the church is supposed to be. Praying in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers for all God's people. But it also works to our benefit too. Paul says this, he says, be alert. like our praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and petitions for all God's people. It brings a measure of alertness to our life. What does it mean to be alert? What does it have to do with praying in the Spirit? It says, when we're busy contending for these things in our life and in others, we're able to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And we're able to contend for that for others as well. There's been a... As I've just been going through this, one statement totally took me by surprise because I've always heard this. They said, you know, it says that the armor of God, it only covers your front so that you can't run from the battle. And the reality is that the breastplate of righteousness went all the way around you. And so we've got some of these false ideas, even though with good intentions sometimes. But I love the picture that Tim had when he was talking about the shield of faith, because he showed all these Roman soldiers together covering one another. Like, it keeps us alert. Like, we all have heard of stories of soldiers falling asleep and the devastation that causes. But our ability to stay alert isn't because we're in on the latest government conspiracy. Our ability to stay alert doesn't have it, what it has to do with keeping ourselves in a place of desiring more of His righteousness, to desire more understanding, of keeping us in a place of desiring greater measure of faith, keeping us in a place to where we're remembering what He's done and standing in hope and faith and expectancy for future salvation to come. It keeps us in a place where we're ready to share the gospel of peace. We're anticipating, we're standing. We all know the difference between somebody who's just not ready and somebody who is. And it keeps us in this posture of being ready. And to leave this posture leaves you vulnerable and others weaker. As I thought about this term, be alert, I was reminded of Jesus in the Olivet Discourse, Mark 13 and Matthew 23, but Jesus is talking about the end of the age. And He says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, plague and famine. And we get all caught up in, what does that mean? When is this going to happen? How are we going to survive? Here's Jesus' counsel in that. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Watch and pray. And I can look at my own life and realize how much the first place I go to, my default is fear. And how I fail to press into prayer and alertness. Like, the thing that's going to get you through that age, that season, that day is not your stockpile of canned goods. It's going to be your prayerfulness. It's going to be your alertness. Maybe the enemy's scheme isn't so much to get you to fall into some grotesque sin. Maybe it's to get you all hyped up on current events or worry or fear about what might happen. Maybe it's to just say, you know what? Look at the armor. You've got faith. You're fine. Jesus made you righteous. You're good. You try and share the gospel. You memorize some scripture. You're set. And we fail to press in to the place of prayer on all occasions with all types of prayer, praying in the Spirit. And instead of being alert, we become lulled to sleep. Rather than standing against the enemy's schemes and continue to strengthen ourselves in the Lord and the power of His might. See, not only is this preventative, but it's also proactive. Like, if I'm so concerned about my righteousness and the knowledge of God, if I'm so concerned about my helmet of salvation and being ready to share the gospel of peace, if I'm concerned about all these things, I actually don't have time to get entangled in civilian affairs. I'm too preoccupied with his kingdom. I'm too preoccupied with his work in the church. So we pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers for all the Lord's people. This keeps us alert, strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. It keeps us enabled to stand strong against the enemy's schemes. And so Tim mentioned earlier, as we close, let's have the worship team come forward. So Tim mentioned earlier, we've got at the beginning of July, we're going to have 3 days of prayer and fasting. And the reality is we do this quarterly. And the reason we do this quarterly is because we're all susceptible to dullness. We're all susceptible to being lulled to sleep. We're all susceptible to not be so alert. Kind of take the edge off, kind of coast a little bit. Things are going well. I'm fine. And I forget, like a good soldier, to be alert, to be ready. And so we do this not because I'm a pastor and we're a church and this is what good Christians do. We do this because we're all susceptible to this. And so we're all susceptible to dullness, to discouragement, to distraction. So like Tim said, on the front of your bulletin, there's a QR code. I want to encourage you to sign up for some time in the prayer room. The other thing we do is we've said this every time, but we encourage you to go before the Lord and ask him, how would you have me fast for these 3 days? As Tim said, this doesn't make us more acceptable or more pleasing to God. It just postures our heart to receive more from him so that we're stronger in him and in the power of his might. And like Tim said, yep, falls on the 4th of July. That stinks. And I've had people ask me, why did you do this? I haven't had a good answer. But let me say this. I don't know what it's going to look like for us. We haven't talked about it yet. But let's not make the mistake of doing nothing because the 4th of July falls in the middle of this. A number of years ago, we were doing a similar fast, and we were traveling, going to see family. But I still wanted to stay in rhythm with the body here. I said, Lord, I want to fast, but we're going to meet with family. When you get together with family, there's celebration and food. And I can't keep my fasting discreet while I'm sitting at a full table with an empty plate. How can I honor you? How can I press into you? How can I make myself available to you in these 3 days and be on vacation? His response was, just drink water. No soda, no coffee, juice, just when you drink. Eat all the food you want, but just drink water. Okay. So let's not make the mistake of just simply, well, it's the 4th of July, it's on that Tuesday, so I'm not going to enter in the prayer room. I'm not going to give anything to the Lord of those 3 days. We can do something. We can all do something with that time. But I want to add to what Tim shared, and that was in the prayer room on Wednesday night. As we were closing, I just had that thought. I was like, oh, yeah. Sometimes these spontaneous thoughts, they're just my ADD, and sometimes it's the Holy Spirit. I said, oh yeah, that Tuesday's on the 4th of July. And I just felt like the Lord said, it's not a coincidence. And it reminded me, yeah, the nation got free from tyranny. And then immediately I heard Isaiah 58:6, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Let's not make the mistake of doing nothing. Like it's our prayers together in the Spirit, all kinds of prayers on all occasion for all the Lord's people. It's our pressing in together in unity that breaks the yoke of the oppressor. And some of you here today are the oppressed, and you need to take these 3 days and seek the Lord. Some of you know people who are oppressed, and you need to take these 3 days to go in to pray in the Spirit and contend for their liberty. That's what we have here. And this is how we stay on alert. This is how we stay on task. This is how we stay engaged. It's in the place of praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers for all God's people. Like he's desirous to do something. His kingdom is a kingdom of power. His kingdom is justice. It's righteousness. It's peace in the Holy Spirit. And he's chosen weak people like you and I to bring that kingdom through on the earth as it is in heaven. So we're going to take these 3 days, even July 4th, and we're going to contend. We're going to pray in the Spirit to seek the Lord's deliverance. Amen. We'd like to close our time here. There's an opportunity to pray for people. If you have any need here today that you would like prayer for, it could be a need for healing, it could be a need for deliverance, maybe there's a stronghold in your life that you just can't get free from, maybe there's a situation relationally that you need the Lord to intervene in, and we just want to open the door. We want to create room for the Holy Spirit to come and do his thing, do what he does best, and that's in the place of prayer. So if you have any need this morning that you'd like prayer for, if you'd be willing just to slip up your hand, we want to have some people gather around you and pray for you. So one right here, the front, and there. Is there anyone else that I'm missing? These three. Okay, let me ask this. Does anybody have any back pain this morning that they'd like prayer for? Okay, over here. All right, let's stand. I'm going to close this in prayer, and if we could gather around these four as soon as I finish while the worship team plays. Holy Spirit, we love you. And we thank you that you're praying for us even right now. And God, as we move into these 3 days of prayer and fasting, God, we ask that you would lead us. Lord, we're so dull and hard of understanding. We're so short-sighted. We're so deaf sometimes. But Holy Spirit, you're the one who opens our ears and opens our eyes and enlightens our hearts. You're the one who reveals to us the things that the Father has planned for those who are called according to his purpose. You're the one who testifies to us of Jesus. You're the one who shares with us the deep things in the mind of the Father, and we ask that you would come and meet us in this time with the fullness of your presence, the fullness of your liberty, the fullness of your power in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you for a fresh measure of boldness on us as a people. Lord, we thank you that you're going to finish the work that you started. You're going to have a pure and spotless bride, and Lord, we today, in a fresh way, we say yes to this. We say, yes, Holy Spirit, come and have all of us. Leave no part of us. Leave no part of us held back from you, we ask in Jesus' name. Teach us to pray in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's gather around these four and pray for them.